Healing by Jerrakeen. Pairing Chris Adam. Rating NC-17. Disclaimer. Not mine. No disrespect or offense intended to anyone. An AAU-SGA crossover series following Path, Light, and Harmony. Chris likes working with his hands. He likes building things. And he's always enjoyed helping people. But, as fucked up as the circumstances leading up to it had been, he'd never thought he'd be spending his honeymoon working in construction. The first day, when Adam had said, "Oh, can you help the villagers with the school building?" Chris had thought Adam was trying to give him an excuse to stick around. That thought hadn't lasted very long. He's used to being covered in mud now. At first, he'd tried to fix himself up before showing up at the temple, wanting to be presentable for Adam, but had realized soon enough that however clean or dirty he was, the night would end in the same way. A warm bath, followed by Adam's hands in his hair, soothing and gentle, lulling him to sleep. Safe and chaste, and not at all what Chris had expected. He doesn't mind the work. It's grueling, tiring work, but that's not it at all. He just doesn't understand. "Hi," Adam greets him. He looks ethereal as always, the light from the stars filtering down through the windows of the temple, reflecting off the green beads in his hair. Chris lets himself take the sight in. "Hey. I drew you a bath," Adam says, gesturing to the back room. "Go on, get cleaned up." Chris takes a step out of habit, but then stops. "Why?" he asks. Adam's mouth lifts up in one corner. "Because you're filthy?" he suggests. "No." Chris shakes his head. "Why? Why let me stay if all you want from me is this?" He points to his clothes, caked with dirt and unrecognizable. "I don't understand. Were you playing with me? What?" Adam doesn't say anything for a moment, and no matter how hard Chris stares, his face doesn't give anything away either. Finally, with a soft shrug, Adam says, "I thought you would leave." Chris turns the words this way and that, and can't make sense of them. "You wanted me to leave? There are easier ways of doing that. Like asking me." "I wanted you to stay," Adam says. "But I thought you would leave." And that apparently makes sense in Adam's twisted mind, Chris thinks. "Well, congratulations," he says. "You proved whatever you wanted to prove. And now," he checks his watch, "I have only 23 hours left before I have to report back to Atlantis, and we didn't get to spend any time together." Adam has this incredible ability to completely ignore Chris's anger and sarcasm. They slide right off him. So Chris is not surprised when he steps closer as if nothing is wrong and runs a hand down the side of Chris's face. "I looked into your mind, and there was confusion. You weren't sure. You had to be sure." Chris recoils back a step, stung. "Because you know my mind better than I do." "You're always so careful," Adam says. "When you're not sure, when you're afraid, when you have doubts, you run back to the familiar and stay there." He pauses. Chris guesses for dramatic effect. "You had doubts about me." "I jumped through hoops to be able to come back," Chris says, careful to keep calm and collected. "Because you thought it was the right thing to do," Adam counters, just as calm himself. "That's not entirely untrue." "And where does that leave us now?" Adam comes closer with light, soundless steps. Now you decide. He rests his lips against Chris's, kissing him delicately, just once. Decide what? I have to go back tomorrow. Adam tilts his head, kisses Chris's cheek, his jaw, his lips. Or you can stay, he says against Chris's skin. Chris opens his mouth to protest, but Adam silences him with a finger against his lips. Or, Adam says, you can come back. He pulls back to meet Chris's eyes. Soldiers do go back to their families, don't they? Oh, Chris thinks, feeling the weight of the world settle somewhere in the vicinity of his heart. You would wait, he asks Adam, his voice not much higher than a whisper. Adam smiles. I've been waiting a long time for you. Usually, Adam's touches make Chris feel warm and shiny and sweet, like he's drunk on honey and floating among cotton candy clouds, being tickled by ever-soft feathers. Tonight, there are no feathers, and the honey has been poured all over Chris and set on fire. Adam is frantic. His hands are everywhere, and his kisses are biting, hard enough to draw blood at times. It's hot. Chris would be lying if he said it wasn't, but he doesn't quite follow how the infuriatingly calm man from earlier turned into this insatiable beast. Adam wraps his lips around Chris's dick, and Chris decides to just let it go. They can have sex now and analyze the whole thing later. Good plan. Adam always knows what he wants. He's good at leading. Even when he doesn't know what the hell he's doing, he fakes it really well. Blowjobs, for example, are not his specialty. Chris highly doubts he's ever given one before they met, but he doesn't let on at all. He's not hesitant or looking to Chris for approval. In fact, he has Chris's hands trapped against his sides so he won't interfere, and he's experimenting to his heart's content. It's sloppy, and Adam looks like he's choking at times, but out of love or insanity, Chris finds that he wouldn't have it any other way. Chris feels slick fingers enter him, and his lips fall open to let a gasp escape. And then Adam is there, sharing Chris's taste with him, letting his tongue play with Chris's as his fingers draw gasp after moan after gasp from him. And it's like a strange dance, fueled by the wild current running up Chris's spine, shaped and tamed by Adam's lips. Adam needs no experimentation with this. Once he's inside Chris, he knows what to do. He always has. And Chris has no problem letting him run this show, except he has a niggling feeling that this time he shouldn't. The way Adam was so calm before, how he's so out of control now. Chris doesn't know what it means exactly, but his gut says that this isn't what Adam needs. Chris runs his hands up Adam's neck and into his hair. So beautiful, he loves Adam's hair, and kisses Adam slow and wet, dragging it out until his lips are slightly numb. I love you, he says, smiling at Adam's smeared makeup. I really, really love you. It's not a revelation. They both knew that. But saying the words out loud makes Chris feel giddy and light. Adam rubs their noses together and sighs. I need you to let me do this my way, okay? Chris says, pushing Adam down on the floor to lie on his back. Adam frowns in confusion, but goes willingly. It's easy to get Adam's pants off. He prefers stretchy fabrics, easy to remove, and he never wears underwear, which makes Chris blush just thinking about it. And when Chris straddles him, hands braced on Adam's chest, freckles under his fingertips, it feels right. perfect and hot and just as it should be. Chris leans down to kiss Adam on his forehead, his nose, his lips, and then he lines them up and sinks down, taking Adam in inch by inch, watching Adam's face as he flushes a perfect pink and falls apart completely, his eyes losing focus, lips parted, shiny and bruised. Chris records a mental snapshot of the way Adam looks, utterly wrecked under him, and starts moving to see how much worse he can make it. Chris catches his breath, leaning down to rest on Adam's chest for a moment. Just a moment, though. Adam will try and take over if he stops for any longer than that, and Chris is not going to let that happen. Because it worked. Adam is still wired. Chris hasn't let him come yet, but he's also looser somehow. Not as desperate. Chris is insanely proud of having done that.
I liked it better when I was on top, Adam whines, snapping his hips up. Chris rides the wave and tries not to flinch. It's getting harder and harder to do with the way his muscles are screaming for release. He looks down at Adam's face, eyelashes clumped together from sweat or tears or both. Bottom lip chewed bloody, and tells himself to suck it up. This is worth a little discomfort.
Shh, shut up, Chris says, changing the angle just a bit. Adam gasps. I'm not going to shut up, he says, eyes closed, but lips stretched into a lopsided smile. I demand to be on top. Chris smiles. Nope, not happening. Adam tries a pout this time, pairing it with a pitiful look. But I can't see, he says, sounding tired drunk. See what? Adam's arm reaches behind Chris, and his fingers trail where the two of them are joined. Chris's hips stutter, and his whole body twitches.
Fuck, Chris says, feeling all blood rush to his cock. You're going to be the death of me, he groans.
I don't want to be the death of you, Adam says, breathless, pushing a finger in at an awkward angle. I want to be the life of you. I want us to live together and be together and see everything. Together. Chris stops. Completely, he can't even breathe, and then he pulls Adam's hand back to press a kiss on his palm, breathing in the smell of sex and sweat and them.
Okay, he says. How else is he supposed to respond to that?
Okay. Yes. I do. Then he falls back into the moment, and brings Adam's hand down to wrap around his cock. Focus on this for now, he says. We'll get to the rest after. The words are just as much for himself as they are for Adam. Chris starts moving once again. Burn, stretch, heat, more. And looking up at him through wet lashes, Adam says, okay. 29 hours later, Chris walks into Shepard's office, shoulders squared and his mind made up. It's not going to be an easy conversation, but Chris is confident that they'll find middle ground. Shepard has a soft spot for aliens. After all, he considers two of them family. Chris is pretty sure that he'll at least get the off-planet leaves, and that'll be a great start. The colonel looks up from his paperwork, takes in Chris's stance, and says, "Don't tell me you really are pregnant this time." Chris smiles, shakes his head. "Just married, sir." The End of Healing by Jarrah Keane, read by Diane McKay.